you, Sherry. That was beautiful. We only have one announcement for today, and that is actually a reminder that there will be no leaders meeting tomorrow on Monday. There's only one this month, and it's not tomorrow. It's November 23rd. So, before our sister, Lori Frithioth, comes up to share God's word with us, we're going to sing number 60 in His Resurrection. Number 60.
Sandy, thank you, Sherry. How is everyone this morning? So good to see all of you. I want to thank Tom for giving me the privilege of being able to stand up here before you and teach God's word. It's quite an honor and a privilege. And before I start, I would like to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the love that you've given unto us, for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, but also His obedience to you and to your word, Father. If it were not for that, we would not be able to enjoy the many blessings that we have now. I just thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So last week, we heard from our brother, Leon Hansen, and one of the records that he went to was in Genesis, where man disobeyed God. And because of that disobedience, he died. Not literally, physically. But he lost that spirit, that connection with God, that he was able to remember how he walked and talked with God in the garden. And because of that disobedience, he lost the most important part, that spirit, that connection with God. And I was thinking about that because I had already planned my teaching, and I'm going to share with you a little bit about what Jesus Christ brought to us in his sacrifice, in his redemption, because as we saw back in Genesis chapter 3, that God first promised a redeemer, and that redeemer did many, many things to make us whole. But one of them is, I would like you to turn in John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, verse 10, Jesus said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself." The words that he spoke did not originate with him. They came from his heavenly Father. And he said, "The Father dwells in me, and because of that, he does the works." Jesus Christ, we saw all the many works through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus did so many wonders and so many works, but it said the Father doeth them. It was by the power of God that Jesus was able to do the works that God had called him to do. What humility that he had. He could have boasted of many things, right? But he didn't boast in himself. He boasted in the fact that his Father gave him the words to speak, and his Father gave him the ability to carry out those works. In verse 11, Jesus says, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." You guys have been with me. You've seen the works that I've done. You know that it was not by human hands that those signs, miracles, and wonders were accomplished. Believe me for the work's sake. You've seen what God has done. In verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." What kind of works did Jesus Christ do? He healed the sick. He cleansed lepers. He raised the dead. He caused the sightless to see again, opened the ears of the deaf. And he said, "You," he's talking to his disciples here, "will be able to do those same works, and greater works than these shall you do." Now my question would be, how? How is that possible? And he says, "Because I go unto my Father, you shall do these works." And in verse 13, he gives them a little bit more information when he says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." In verse 14, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." I used to think, well, I can ask anything. I want a new car. I want a new job. I need. But in the context of what we're talking about doing the works of God. And he says here that if you ask anything in my name, I shall do it. So that is an important key when it comes to asking God. If we know that God is directing us to do a certain work, he said, "Ask in my name and I'll do it." God, Jesus was giving them not only the permission to use his name, but also the authority to use his name. And what is in a name? Please turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read a little bit about that name. In Philippians chapter 2, 9 and 10, we read, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him," talking about Jesus, "and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, There's some power there. God gave Jesus a name above every name. And Jesus had given us permission and the authority to use that name, to command those things in his name, and he will perform those things for us. Going back to John chapter 14 and in verse 16, Jesus tells us a little bit more about what he is going to be imparting to them. In verse 16, Jesus says, "And I will pray," or ask, "the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." A few weeks ago, Tom shared these few verses, and he said that the comforter is one that comes alongside and helps us or aids us. Another word that it can be translated is counselor. So he says, "I pray the Father, and he shall give you another helper, another aid, and that helper would abide with you forever." And in verse 17, the comforter is called something else. It's called the Spirit of Truth. Verse 17, "Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Jesus said, "You know the Spirit because he dwells with you." They had seen the works of the Spirit in the life of Jesus Christ, right? He says, "You know this Spirit. You have seen this Spirit, not with your eyes, but you've seen the workings of the Spirit in his life as he healed the sick. You know, he raised the dead. All the miracles and signs that he did. He said, you've seen it, but you know what? That Spirit is going to be in you." Okay, that's kind of answering that little question like, okay, how am I going to do the works that Jesus did and greater works? You are going to have a Spirit within you, and that Spirit will abide with you forever. So in verse 18, he reiterates or says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without help. I will not leave you without that aid that you need in your life to be able to live this life that Jesus Christ is talking about with great power and being able to do the works that he did." And to be comfortless would be, you know, basically you'd be on your own. You'd be alone. You know, that helps me every time I stand up to manifest on a Sunday morning. Okay. He is not going to leave me alone. He's with me. You know, I can stand up. I can do this because he has given me that comforter, that aid, that ability. If you would skip down now to chapter 14 and verse 25, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the comforter," that aid, that help, "which is the Holy Ghost," the Holy Spirit. He comes right out and says, that help, that comforter is the Holy Spirit, "whom the Father will send in my name. And that Spirit shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Isn't that wonderful? That God was going to send this aid in Jesus' name that would teach us all things. Algebra? I mean, this is a spiritual, Holy Spirit. And Spirit can teach us spiritual truths, right? Spiritual realities. We open our Bibles sometimes and, you know, to be honest with you, sometimes I open it and I think the words are just kind of bouncing off my brain. Am I going to the Word and saying, okay, Father, you've given me this Spirit, and you've promised me that this Spirit is going to teach me all things spiritually that I need to know? Not only the words that I'm reading from his Word, but also those spiritual abilities that he's given us with that Holy Spirit. So that's a wonderful, that's amazing. So we can open God's Word and pray and say, Father, please show me, open my heart, open my understanding. Okay, I would like you to turn to John chapter 15 and verse 26. Jesus says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father," very simple, right? He says, "I will send it to you," but it's from the Father, "the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, it shall testify of me." I just think that's a wonderful thing because people get confused. You know, sometimes, well, I'll talk about that in a minute when I get to it. And if you'd skip down to verses 6 and 7, Jesus said, "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." You know, they were sad that he was going away, you know, but he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Again, Jesus is saying, "I will send him unto you, but first I need to go away. There's a few things I need to accomplish first. And then I can send you this Comforter, this aid that's going to be profitable to you." And if you'd skip down to chapter 16, verse 13, we're going to read a verse that it talks about the Spirit of truth, and it uses the pronoun he a lot. And when Tom was talking about this a few weeks ago, he mentioned that, you know, Spirit is not a female, it's not a male, it's more of an entity. And so the Spirit of truth, God is spirit, right? In John 4:24, it says, "I am spirit." God is spirit, right? So God gives what he is, and God is spirit. So when we use the word he, you know, a lot of churches teach that there's three people, right? There's God, there's Jesus, and then there's the third person, this Holy Spirit. Well, that can't be because God gives what he is, which is spirit. And it even says here, as we start reading in verse 13, when he or it, more properly supplied, "the Spirit of truth is come, it will guide you into all truth." We already heard that, right? "For it shall not speak of itself." Remember Jesus saying in John 14 that whatever words he spoke, that it didn't originate from him. Well, right here he says the Spirit of truth also shall not speak of himself or itself, but whatsoever it shall hear, that shall it speak, and it will show you things to come. So the Spirit is more of a means of communication between God and man. And as we saw in Genesis, when man lost that communication with God, but now this is going to be restored. Jesus Christ in his redemption for you and I not only is going to give us that Spirit that allows us to live forever, but also that we can walk and talk with God while we're here on this earth. He's given us all this ability, and it says this Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth, okay? And will not, that truth will not originate from himself. Verse 14, "It shall glorify me, for it shall receive of mine and show it unto you." Please turn to chapter 17 of John. And Jesus says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." So this prayer was going beyond just the disciples, right? Sometimes people say, well, after the disciples received Holy Spirit, it died with them. It doesn't go any further than that. But I think we're going to find out that's not true. Okay? So, not only did he pray that, not just for these alone, but for them that which shall believe on me, but in verse 21, "that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." this sounds a lot like what Adam had in the beginning, right? He was one with God. He could walk and talk with God. He had that spirit. And then when he lost it, thousands and thousands of years, man lived on this earth without having that spirit and not being able to communicate directly with God unless God placed that spirit upon an individual, and then he could. But wow, he's saying now that we're going to be restored to that, not only what Adam had, but even greater than what he had. Because he says in verse 22, "And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one." Just think, the glory that God gave Jesus Christ, it says that he is given to those that believe on him. Wow, we have that glory. Isn't that amazing? I just think that's something else. Okay, so turn to Luke, if you would. And we're going to talk about right before Jesus is going to ascend. And in Luke chapter 24 and in verse 49, he says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." When God promises something, does he do it? Yeah. "I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem," you know, you're going to stay in Jerusalem, "until you be endued with power from on high." And I love the word endued because it's until you're clothed with power. That's the first time he really comes right out and says, you're going to be clothed with power. You guys wait in Jerusalem until that day when you are clothed, like putting on a nightshirt, right? We're clothed with that power. Okay, please turn to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look at that same time period right before Jesus ascends. And in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 4, he says, "And being assembled together with them," he, Jesus, okay, "commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me." And then he continues and says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And the word baptized means to be immersed in. Anybody ever immerse a strawberry in chocolate or an apple in caramel? You get the picture? It says you're going to be immersed in Holy Spirit. You're going to be immersed in it, and you're going to be clothed with power from on high. Wow. If you go down a little further to Acts 1:8, in the beginning of the verse says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." And, you know, you start seeing in their minds, maybe they're starting to realize how they're going to do the works that Jesus Christ did. You know, clothed with, immersed in, power. It's starting to crystallize, I think. So then when we get to Acts chapter 2 and in verse 1, we read, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." In the NIV, verse 4 reads like this: "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues," or other languages, "as the Spirit enabled them." It's the Spirit that enables us to do the works of Jesus Christ. It's not by our own flesh. It doesn't matter what education you have. It doesn't matter what your upbringing was. at all. It doesn't matter if you think you can speak eloquently or any of those things. They don't matter. The Spirit enables us. So again, you know, when you stand up on Sunday mornings, you know, sometimes you might feel God kind of like tapping on your shoulder, or that little thing inside where God is stirring up something within you and you know that you should stand up. Don't be afraid. You can have the boldness to stand up because that Spirit within you is what gives you the enablement. Remember, Jesus didn't get words that originated from himself. We don't get those words that originate from within ourselves. It's the Spirit working within us, and that's that power that we've been clothed with, that power that we're endued with. What a life we have. Is there anything that we should be afraid of in this world? I mean, really, what can man do to us if we have a name that is above every name, that we can, in the name of Jesus Christ, we can speak forth the works that God wants brought to pass? If somebody needs to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, doggone it, he's given us permission and he's given us the authority to use that name. We can do it. You know, don't be afraid. We have a helper. And he says that this helper will abide with us forever. We don't ever have to walk into this world in fear. It doesn't matter what people, maybe our neighbors don't like us, or maybe our boss is being mean to us. But we have something that is far more powerful than that, that we've been clothed with in Holy Spirit. So, to continue on a little bit, in Acts chapter 2, verses 32, if you would skip down there a little ways. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, Jesus, hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. Didn't Jesus tell them that this is what was going to happen? That he would receive from the Father, and that he would pour out upon them if they tarried in the city of Jerusalem. Isn't that wonderful? I didn't know that for the longest time because I just didn't really read what was written. He says it just plainly that he was going to send Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. So how does that affect you and me? I mean, he's talking to them on the day of Pentecost, right? And there was a time right after I got born again, and I was just starting to learn some of these truths, and somebody asked me how I knew I was born again, and I said, well, I can speak in tongues. You know, I didn't know a lot. And he told me, sorry, but that died with the apostles. And, you know, I thought to myself, that can't be true, because I have the evidence of that power within, right? It's a manifestation of that Holy Spirit that we have within. Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, we read, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That pretty much covers it, right? So yes, it is available today. And yes, when Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, yes, we can do that. And it's not by our own flesh or our own ability, but it's because of that Spirit that we've been clothed with, that we've been immersed in, and that power from on high. So thank you. Now I would like to introduce to you our sister in Christ, who I've had the privilege of working with for 20 years. I love her to death, or life, I should say. And one thing I know about Nancy is that she loves God and she loves all of you. And I'm so honored to introduce you. Thank you.
Thanks.